Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a special edition. It's the Andy and Amanda Love Show, baby. Let's get it on. Let's talk. 515-605-9888. We'll answer all your questions. Love, intimacy, relationship, and anything else you want to talk about here on the Andy and Amanda Love Show. It's Wednesday, April 14th. Let's talk love.
The time has come for us to part and think of living as it was. Into the future we must cross, must cross, and let it go with you. I'd like to go with you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. These are beezer. Yes,
I agree completely.
I hope you've enjoyed today's show. We'll see you next time. Thanks, folks. Oh, we're just, I'm sorry. We're throwing into the show here. Why do I have end?
Hey.
Oh, it says end. Oh, I got them on the wrong side. I'm playing. Oh, got it. Okay. I thought I had a cue to end the show. All right. Hey. It's the beginning of the show. This is the Andy Demander Show. My name is Andy Kimball, and on the other end of the pond, all the way across the ocean, 8,000 miles away, somewhere deep inside our, way over there, way, way, way across the ocean, way, way, way back to going way back against the wall. Think baseball for a second. what was I saying? Oh, I was trying to introduce you. I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
how rude of me.
That's okay. That's okay.
I'm really sorry. It's Amanda Love. Hey.
I think it is. Hang on. Let me check.
we're not just talking Amanda Love. We're talking Amanda Love, baby. We're talking Amanda Love.
Thank you. This is a very
special edition of the Andy and Amanda Show, where we're going to talk and answer and resolve everybody's questions. Has a question, many might not have any questions. They might be able to answer our questions, actually. But anyway, we're going to try to answer everybody's questions regarding love, as in Amanda Love. Sex, as in Amanda, no, excuse me, sex and intimacy. Yes. It's finally here, folks, the Andy and Amanda Love and Relationship episode. You'll hear from our experts on today's show. We're going to be answering your calls, 515-605-9888, and answering your emails, of which we have so many, and other questions and texts and Twitter. How do you get to Twitter?
Twitter. Yeah.
Thank you. How do you get to do that to us?
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, I've got all the show's details here, my darling. So if people want to tweet us or, get hold of us, then our email address is theandyandamandashow@gmail.com. And if you want to send us a tweet, then you go to @AndyAndAmanda2.
There we go, folks. So you can tweet us and we'll get hold of us that way. whatever it is, you know what I mean? And you could email us at AndyAndAmandaShow@gmail.com. Send us your questions, and we do have the answers, believe me. And if we don't, we have a panelist on today's show that will be able to answer your questions. And some of we asked some of our panelists some questions early on. We pre-recorded their answers of the most popular questions we did not receive. So anyway, and this is kind of cool because normally we kind of comment on the news, what's going on there, what's going on here. We talk about the coronavirus and the vaccinations and the rate of vaccines and how dangerous the virus continues to be, or is it easing down? And we talk about that. We've had ways and commented on some issues which are a concern to all of us. And that's what we have been doing here on the show. But we wanted to have, we talked about this for so long, about having a show that, let's just talk about life, let's talk about relationships, let's talk about love and sex, because that's truthfully, I think, what is on everybody's mind anyway. For those of you who are enjoying relationship, you're glad to be in it, or maybe not, we're going to talk about that. For those of you who aren't in a relationship, many of you wish you were. So how do we remedy your life? How are you going about finding that significant other? Maybe in a relationship, but that person that you're in relationship with is not that person that you thought you would be in. Let's say you're not committed or married or engaged or otherwise submitted into a relationship of some sort, and you get into it, then later on down the road you find out, you know, this isn't going the way I want to be. I don't want to hurt the other person. What do I do? I'm having, you know, this guy's cool, but it's really bad sex. This guy's not cool, but it's really, really good sex. This girl is cool. This, you know, whatever it might be, you know.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that. Sure. And we're going to talk about, you know, gender ID and identity and all that. So anyway.
Hold up.
the new pronoun they, you know, on the applications, he, are you a male, female, or they? And you know, we'll talk about that maybe, you know, maybe. But
yeah.
I think what we'll do is let's just briefly, you know, we all know what's going on in the news. Actually, I've learned that many actually do not know, and many don't really give a damn actually. But there's some things going on that we should just briefly go over, and we'll talk about them another show in the USA. We talked on Monday about the officer shooting.
Yes.
A black man in Minneapolis, 10 miles away from where George Floyd was killed. The officer's name has been released. It's Kim Potter, as in Harry. But no relationship. I checked. There is no relationship.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm. I did check, though.
That just blew my illusions out of the water. Okay.
Yeah, she was, I think, an officer with the Brooklyn police in Minneapolis area, Minnesota, for I think 14 years. I think it is 14 years something. So quite some time. She's had a couple of issues early on, nothing major, but had some issues. Was never arrested, indicted, or charged with anything. But she was arrested Wednesday morning by agents with the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, and she's booked into the Hennepin County Jail. She killed this 20, you know, a guy was got back in his car, started driving off, and she pulled a gun, thinking it was her taser. But she's been with the police a long, long – know what else she does with the police? She's a training officer.
Oh, really? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Or was. Huh. Was. Yeah.
Okay.
She's being charged with secondary manslaughter. And we'll follow that. Okay, I just want to, you know, there's more. We can talk more about that. We're not going to on this particular show.
Yeah.
Does it again on Friday? I think we'll probably dive into it again. We'll see where that is. Outside of that, we talked about Gates, Representative Gates from Florida, and the federal investigation into his sex trafficking, sex with a minor, transporting a minor across state lines, paying money, blah, blah, blah. Well, now women who are now not 17, who are like 20, have come out to detail drug use, sex, and payments after late night parties with Gates. He's done.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that Friday. You know, hey, stay tuned right after this message. And also the president... I hope you're taking notes, Mandy, because you know me, I will forget what we're supposed to talk about Friday. But anyway.
I wish you pre-warned me.
No, these are things we've been following. We've been following these things. And President Biden here is going to begin the withdrawal from Afghanistan on May 1st. And he will not pass the responsibility on to the next president that comes down the pike. So anyway, so those are things we're going to, you know, we would normally be diving into and providing comment and answering your questions and fielding your emails and so forth. But this show, and I want to hear from Amanda too, because you may have some things to talk about there too. But we're going to focus today on sex anyway, because this is Amanda Love and Andy Kimball. And what else should we be talking about? Know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can't think
of,
you know.
I love the picture you paint, Andy. I really do.
Thank you. I'm proud of it. You know what I'm saying?
Is it a paint by numbers or is it just, you know, totally inspirational?
Gosh, you know, yeah, she's like, you know, she forms a cross with her fingers and she goes, back, Andy, back, I say, back.
Well,
back.
Shit, you please.
Back, you fool.
You just blow my cover.
And I keep coming after her. And then what's her comment?
It's really hard.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. What am I going to do with you, Andy? What am I going to do with you? Actually, don't answer that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know. I'll say that. Yeah. 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 So anyway, our number again, 515-605-9888. Amanda,
yes.
What do you have to say? What do you have to say?
Yes, about what?
Well, we are going to be answering some questions here about what do you think, what is the most prevalent issue and problem regarding sex, love, and relationship as far as from what your perceptions are?
That's mm-hmm. a vast area. Mm-hmm. Okay, so,
You know what? Wait.
Shut up and drink your gin!
Yeah.
Okay, hang on, let me just do that. Yeah, okay, that's good.
All right.
That's good, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I've had my shot, I'm ready to talk. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so,
on top writing.
Mm-hmm. Now? We're doing a show. Please.
It's a minefield, isn't it? I mean, I speak to so many people that, you know, go through all sorts of issues with loneliness, you know, really needing somebody. And, I witness people with the struggles of being in a relationship, and how to keep that romance, that spark in the relationship mm-hmm. alive. Because I think that's something that bothers a lot of people. You know, there's plenty of people out there in relationships, but it's got to the point where it's kind of fizzled out and they've kind of learned to just exist with each other as opposed to still have this unity within the relationship where, you know, that enjoyment and excitement is just not present. I think that's mm-hmm. something that a lot of people think about but don't necessarily talk about. Definitely. Mm-hmm. You know, it's much mm-hmm. easier for them to go around with the, well, I'm just existing in this and this is the way it is. This is all I know and I'm happy for it to be this way. Although deeply, they're not really happy about it. They just don't talk about it. And, you know, when somebody does ask, oh, how are you? How's the relationship? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, we're great. You know, we do this, do that. But, you know, secretly underneath it, they're just like, huh, if only you knew. Mm. And you see that in people's faces sometimes. You see it in people's mm-hmm. faces and it's a funny place to be because you don't feel comfortable challenging somebody about their relationship sometimes because it seems like you're prying, trying to get too personal. And then, you know, then you've got the other end of the spectrum where people are so desperately wanting to be in a relationship because they've got all this love to give to somebody and no one to actually give it to. And, you know, you could flip that on so many ways and you'll have many people come at you and say, okay, well, why don't you just start by giving it to yourself first? I'm sure there's many images popping up in people's heads as soon as I say that.
Oh, yeah, I don't mind. You know, I've tried to give love a lot and then I end up waking up and asking questions like...
Who am I? Why am I here?
Yeah, you know? And
I know, right? That's a common question for me as well, Andy. You're not alone in that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. But those two things are the biggest things that I seem to come across with people. And I noticed that, you know, we've had previous guests on the show talking about self-love and stuff. And that seems to be a big driving force at the moment as well, I've noticed. There's like, I don't know if you want to call it a trend or whatever you want to label it as, that a lot of people are reaching that point now where they're realizing, okay, so I'm happy being on my own, or even in relationships, they're learning how to love themselves a little more so that they can be a better partner to the other person. And, mm-hmm. I've gone through so many processes myself, with insecurities, battling insecurities and, you know, trying to be the best version of me as I can. And so that doesn't affect every other area of my life because that can do as well. And I think that's something that affects a lot of people, insecurity in relationships majorly. Mm-hmm. And again, that's not always something people talk about because they get ashamed of their insecurities. And that could be from something their partner is doing within that relationship or not doing, or just from a life experience that they've had, that they've carried that insecurity from childhood, and it's just come out within certain areas of your life that's become important, like a relationship or work. And, you know, trying to find that way to deal with those little demons that stand there and poke at you and say, ha-ha, it's time for you to be insecure about everything your partner's doing, or, you know, somebody at work's doing to you, and you know, recognizing that and trying to work with it. This is me getting all deep on you, Andy. I'm sorry.
No, I hear you. You know, it's funny because one question here, and just getting this over here, I'm looking at these titles of the answers, is sexuality with women and men and all, you know.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Women and men, and does it take a woman longer to get into it as a man, or a woman aggressive? But, and sometimes there's one popular question is that, takes a woman a really long time to get into a physical relationship, and what
yes.
are some remedies? And here's one answer here that we have from our panel. If I can find it, yes, here we go.
Everybody has this idea that threesome is going to be the best sex ever, whatever.
Mm-hmm. That could be. A start, you know, just think about the, no, really, but here's, here we go.
Start alone first.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Always get to, it's always good to know yourself first, you know?
Yeah.
In every respect.
I love.
Yeah. And yet, like you were saying, we've talked about that on the show. We've talked about, you know,
who
you are and who you're being and who are you bringing into, who you're being in a relationship. And you know, I think, you know, it's interesting you mentioned that, because now that I think about it, if you're not in touch with yourself,
yeah,
then how, and if you don't have a really good grip on who you are and where you intend to see yourself as your life goes down that track, how is it possible to be effective in being who you are in a relationship if you don't know who you are, for real? You have a feeling you're being, but are you being you? You're being, of course, you're existing, but are you really being in a relationship?
Yeah.
And interesting question. You know, it's you know, to get in touch with oneself, and you wonder, you know, and kind of keep on going down this road, but you wonder how many relationships exist. And then they don't exist. But the reason why they end up not existing is because not only – and we always say, well, people grow and they change and they grow. But do they really grow from who they really are, or do they start discovering who they are and they didn't know throughout the term of however long that relationship was, whether it was 3 months, 3 years, or 13 years, or 30 years?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
So,
here's the question. If somebody gets in a relationship, guy, girl, guy, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, that commitment begins to manifest itself and gets stronger and stronger, and they end up finding themselves being attached as one and only within that relationship, but then down the road it doesn't work. Why doesn't it work down the road? And what made it exist 5 years ago? 5 weeks ago, 5 months ago, well, 5 weeks ago, I get that, but five months ago, I guess, but let's go 5 years, you know, five years, 1.5 years, 2-3 years, you know, significant time. Forget the weeks and months. Forget that. Understand that. But when, especially if you're living together or whatever, and suddenly you have a change of heart and mind and direction with what you expect out of the person you're in a relationship with, or you just don't want to be in a relationship anymore, period.
But
the question is, could you have answered that question and known that 5 years previously? You know, how well did you really know yourself to dive into that relationship at the onset?
Yes. And I think a lot of the time people get into relationships so easily because, one, everybody truly does want to be in a relationship to feel loved by another person and seen as valuable and worthy enough to be loved. And Everybody wants that. Everybody does, whether they admit it or not. And so quite often people easily slip into these relationships. And again, they don't really know themselves, but they're hoping that the other person, you know, they've obviously had this click or connection with that person to get into that relationship. Some people don't. Some people just jump into a relationship, starting to learn about them as they go along and hoping it works out. Whereas, you know, there's the opposite side that take time to get to know each other before they get into this relationship, and then boom, it starts to manifest into something very beautiful. But I think, you know, those who jump in very quickly, they're so desperately looking to be loved and feel valued and wanted and needed. And that's the biggest thing, to feel wanted and needed, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you go around life and life is thrown in your face all the time. There's so many situations that say, you know, the world rejects you. You've got to fight for everything you want in life. And everybody wants that person by their side to support them and love them and show them how valuable they are and worthy they are and how special they are. And then they get very heartbroken and disappointed when the other person that they hoped would reflect that back to them doesn't reflect it back to them. And then, you know, that's when that relationship starts to battle. Egos come out. They start fighting each other. Things start falling apart. But they end up repeating that same pattern by moving on to another person and not learning from the previous experience that says, hey, obviously this type of approach didn't work. How about trying something different? But instead they fall into that same loop again and then finding somebody else and hope that that person's going to be the one who wasn't before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that vicious circle keeps going round until eventually this person's had so much heartbreak and says, okay, so I need to step back from all relationships. I need to focus on myself. That's where that growth truly begins. And that's where you end up finding somebody who's worthy of your love and as you know yourself. And they're worthy of everything that you have to offer them because, you know, you've reached that place. And, you know, I've seen that as well in people. I've had friends that end up repeating the same cycle.
Round and round they go.
I feel sorry for them.
Round and round. Yep, I've seen that too.
All the time.
Round and round. Round and round. They never get out of that merry-go-round. Round and round and round they go. Yeah, and how about the sex and long-term relationships? Now, what happens what happens down? what happens? You know, it's an interesting physiological phenomenon. You know, what drives sex? What drives sex is, in actuality, what drives sex is reproduction.
Yeah.
The reason why we have sex is to reproduce is to grow the population. So our species does not die out. That's actually physiologically that's why sex is enjoyable. That's why physiologically the body has sex, why all the drive is underlying all there. It's not just a physical thing. There's a reason why it's there. And there's a reason what happens as a result of having sex, if you have unprotected sex and blah, 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 right? So let's figure out what happens down the road.
We're genetically built that they
think the sex has done its function. You know, if you haven't had kids by then, you're probably not going to have any. If you do have kids, you know, you've already done your function because, of course, you know, the whole point of a sex drive is population. We're there to populate. Yeah. So once you've had kids or you've been, you know, Mother Nature thinks, well, obviously she's not interested, she couldn't care less if you never have great sex again. So we're actually going against nature to want to have somebody that we love and have great sex with, because interestingly also, the two hormones that are responsible for love and sex fight each other. You know, we think love and sex are great bedfellows. They're not. You know, the hormones like you know, oxytocin, serotonin, PEA, they're all love hormones, and they don't like being in the brain with things like testosterone, you know, which is responsible for your sex drive. That's why you have that Madonna whore thing of, you know, they'll have this woman that they love on a pedestal but won't fancy her and then have sex with somebody else.
Wow.
That they don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, yeah, that's quite scientific there.
Mm-hmm,
yeah, makes sense, right? Yeah.
It does, but regardless, you know,
in a relationship, you have to make time for sex.
You really do, no matter what.
I think it's a beautiful thing to carry that on in a relationship, and I know there's many a times when couples have that, even if they're not having that intimacy in that way very often, there will probably come a point where they both feel, okay, we're at that place where we both feel that we want to be that intimate with each other because they want to share that something that they haven't shared in a while. and just feel that connected with each other again. Because that's what it all comes down to, is connection with the other person, right? It's not just all physical. And I think that's what helps a physical relationship, is by maintaining that connection and that intimacy between each other, sharing whatever it is and just being open with each other and, you know, making sure, you know, the other one feels loved and respected. That's what keeps a lot of that alive. And, I mean, that's just my opinion. I mean, what do I know, right?
Well, we were experts. That's why we're doing the show.
I'm sorry.
So, you know, it's one thing she failed to, just to bring her back here, one thing she failed to mention with all the hormones and the things that are things, testosterone and the whatever it is, was floating around the brain. She forgot to mention the other stuff floating around the brain, like Viagra, whatever you call it there, and Cialis and Modelo and all these other things floating around the brain there that could, you know, make a big difference here in our see what I'm saying now?
I know what you're saying, yeah.
It is, now let's move right along here. Let's see.
Is it okay to fake an orgasm?
No. I say no to that. What do you say? What do you say?
I agree with that. I mean, I don't think it's fair to fake anything, whether it's in the relationship, like fake I love you or a fake orgasm, no matter what it is. I think, you know, that communication is always key, right? So if you're having a sexual experience with your partner that, you know, you want to please them, sure, and you don't want to make them feel like they haven't achieved anything with you, because obviously it's nice for the other person when they know that they've been able to give you or take you to that place, you know, and make you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So when you fake it, you're lying to them and you're lying to yourself, and you're not then ultimately both truly getting out of it what is potentially, you know, could be a beautiful thing. So I think by being honest, say, hey, darling, I apologize, but I couldn't quite get there. You know, who knows? Maybe your partner will turn around and say, well, okay, well, give me 10 minutes. Let's try again. Well, hey, double the fun,
but,
right?
But to me, orgasm is not the end all of sex.
No, that's right. Absolutely.
You know, so, I mean, yeah, I'm good either way. Me, you know, either way. But I'm easy.
They've always
not problem with my life. You know what I mean?
But you're right. No, it isn't. And I think it's just the experience and the intimacy you share in a moment that means more than anything. But a lot of people set out when they have sex with each other to get to that point. Oh my God, I got this pressure to get to this point. I must orgasm. I must do this and I must do that. And then feel like crappy that maybe one or both didn't achieve it, and feel bad about it. But it's just having that intimacy together, that sharing in that moment, that unity that makes you feel like you're connected to that person in such a beautiful way. And you're absolutely right, Andy. You've hit the nail right on the head.
Yeah, I mean that is not, well, I hit something somewhere, I don't know what, but anyway, that's never been, I'm just thinking back, it's never been it for me. And just as a guy, you know, and I'm with a girl, I would hate to think that a girl would have to fake that. I mean, whatever happens kind of happens, and you kind of dive into these things together and share whatever it is you're sharing together, and whatever it is, it is, and that's great, whatever it is, you know, it's just the way it is. It's okay. It's okay, you know?
Absolutely.
Okay by me, you know?
I think a lot of pressure gets put on that whole idea about an orgasm. If you don't have an orgasm, then, you know, it's a very disappointing thing and that you haven't really enjoyed anything, but it's a shame, really.
And I wonder how many girls who have sex with their significant others think that they have to show their significant others of the quality of their sex, their lovemaking, whatever it is they're doing, by having an orgasm. I mean, is that mean, oh, wow, you know, you have to, well, even though they're not, let's say they're not all that turned on and actually it's not all that great, but they better pretend kind of like, oh, to make him feel like, you know, ego and emotionally that, oh, you're fabulous. And they break up a day later. I mean, what, you know, I don't know. And I wonder how much, because you hear more about that with women. Although I must say this, I know that for a fact. I mean, guys have faked orgasms too.
Yeah, I mean, you don't hear about that so much, but yeah.
You don't, but it's absolutely true. You do not, yeah. You do not hear, like you said, it is not, you know. So girls, you know, it'd be kind of interesting to switch roles. What would happen if you found out that some of the guys you've been with, or guys, some of the, you know, whatever, I'm just saying significant others, I don't mean, you know, whatever, I'm just saying that some of the, your other partner was faking it, and was a guy who, you know, because you always hear about, oh, girls faking orgasm. Well, how about, what would you do if that guy you were with, whenever, was actually faking it? You don't think about that too much. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right. And it does exist, definitely. And in a way, you could look at it as a beautiful situation because they don't want to upset their partner or, you know, make them feel insecure about what just happened. So as much as that appears like a beautiful and noble thing, I think if it's an important part of the relationship for you, is the communication is a beautiful thing to say, okay, well, this didn't happen for me. It was nothing that you did or didn't do. Maybe, you know, I just physically wasn't up to producing that today or whatever, you know, because there's also all sorts of things that come into the situation when you're intimate with somebody that could affect the process and the end result of that intimacy. For example, bad sleep, stress, you know, poor diet. There's all sorts of things that can contribute to not having the experience you were both hoping for. And I think that's a lot of pressure on a lot of couples as well, that, you know, they feel like they have to be on top form to perform for their partner. And there's all sorts of things that can contribute to that not being as successful as they had in their own minds. And then they stress about it, and then they feel down and think they've done something wrong and feel less of themselves because of it. And then that can create a wedge between them and their partner, right? And I
wonder how many relationships actually break up because sex is, you know, maybe it was good at one point or whatever, and or maybe it never really was that good. The relationship just kind of went on down the road there. But I wonder how many relationships actually end because, you know, because one partner saying, you know, I love sex. I want sex in my life, and I want really good sex. And I'm you know, I'd make somebody a really, really, really good lover. It just ain't happening here. You know, and what should they do? Well, let's see.
If it doesn't work, separate amicably and look for somebody new.
There you go. All right. Now.
I mean, sex can be a huge thing for people, can it? I mean, you know, there are people that feel that that's a huge part of their relationship, that they can't possibly survive without it. There's people actually addicted to it in so many levels because it's a feel-good thing, and people get addicted to the things they feel good with, whether it's food, drink, drugs, sex, even just simple things within a relationship can feel addictive. We've all got the possibility to have that addictive behavior in us, and it's so easy to experience that. And I hear so much about people being addicted to sex, that they go out there and they buy all sorts of things to replace a human being so that they can just, you know, have an orgasm, do what they need to do, get out their system.
You know, speaking of that during, I guess doing some research for this show, the sale of sex toys, men and women, the sale of sex toys during the coronavirus, during the lockdowns, have been through the roof.
Wow. Okay.
But here's the interesting thing. This is interesting.
Yeah.
They also predicted 9 months after the lockdowns started happening, the pandemic really started taking its toll on our country and the world, that there'd be a spurt of babies. Bam. There'd be like, whoa, 9 months into it, because husbands and wives, men and women, boys and girls, whatever, are home, and boom. 9 months later, out come the babies in a huge explosion. because of everybody is at home all 24/7 all the time, and they're not going to work, and they're home, and they're having sex and whatever, and 9 months later babies come out. It ain't happening.
Not happening.
But the sale of sex toys is way, way up.
But that wouldn't surprise me, actually, Andy. I mean, although I find it shocked to start with, that doesn't surprise me.
you know what? Thinking about it, I'm like, you know, yeah. Like, you know, I wonder if you get to the point where it seems like sex is too much work.
I think there are people that feel that way.
I'm just thinking. Cause I don't really, believe it or not, I don't really, it's me and my guitars, you know, I mean, that's about as far as it goes. You know, can we talk? Probably sad boy. People are saying, Andy, you poor soul.
There's definitely wrong with being,
I've had the equivalent of amazing sex with my guitars. I mean, it just the passion that we have together, when I've suggested to some of my partners, about having, threesomes.
Mm.
And they're like, Andy, that sounds really cool. Yeah, we go, you know, find somebody or whatever. We can do it. We can do that. We can do a threesome, you know, whatever, if that's cool. And I said, no, I got the partner's actually here. I said, really? They've been here the whole time? I'm like, yeah. Well, introduce me, and I bring out my guitar.
She's like, yes, look, she lets me caress her strings anytime I choose, and I can go for as long as I want.
No one really turned me on, baby. Let me just see you touch my guitar.
You should hear the sound that she makes when I get the rhythm going. Yeah.
a conversation in my mind. Hey, let me ask you a question. Do you have conversations with girls about you know, they come up to anybody ask or talk about having a threesome?
Oh my goodness! You know, that conversation has come up. And,
well, let me hear. What is the conversation, and how do people talk about it?
Well, I remember being asked once many years ago if I would ever consider something like that. I'm like, hell no, because for me, I don't see the appeal of it. I think one, because I can be an insecure person. Okay. So I think that the thought of being with two other people at the same time, no. Then you've got the moral side of it for me. The moral side is the most important, that I don't believe in having sex with more than one person at any time, because although that might be what is seen for other people as an intimate relationship between those three people in that moment, I think it's much more personal and should be more personal than that. It should be about that one-on-one for somebody. That's the way I see it. I, you know, there's probably people out there who argue that and say no.
We do. We have a caller on the line right now who might argue it. Yo, dude.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
We're talking threesomes.
Y'all talking about crayons, right?
Crayons. Yes.
Yeah, crayons. Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
So basically, well. That's good. You put the red and the blue and the green in the video.
Yes. What do you think?
I really think with the subject that you're on is it's kind of great because sex sells.
All right. Okay.
This is the coordinator of the show and the backbone of the show, of course, thinking of the marketing and the growth of the show. And, of course, he gets on there thinking, yeah, guys, yes, sex, go. Yes, reach, sponsorship.
So, yes. So, man, to keep continuing that conversation was talking about, my phone was steaming up.
Well, we have some different – we have some different thoughts on threesomes. Here's one.
If you are engaged together as threesome, one of them, let's say two women with you, one of them is going to be a better lover.
Oh.
Yeah, so I wonder how that – I've never had a threesome.
No, me neither.
I'll stay quiet.
We know what that means.
So, but I haven't thought about it, threesome, in that respect. Like when you have, let's say, as a guy, let's say you have two girls. First of all, I couldn't imagine that. I have a girlfriend of mine who's a friend, not a girlfriend, who's a woman. For her boyfriends or I think husbands or significant others, they're actually having some issues living together, but not really a relationship anymore. But anyway, that's another story.
Yeah.
But she, for his birthday, got another girl. He brought another girl in as a threesome.
Yeah.
And thinking back, we were talking about sex and all this stuff at the time, and I didn't continue. I wish I'd continued the conversation to ask what was it like. I never did. But I wish I could go back. Maybe I'll call her. Let's call her. Let me see if I can call her up on the show here. Wait a minute.
Oh, I'm sure she'd love that.
She probably had a fastest hang up.
Let me say something here. Wait.
Everybody has this idea that threesome is going to be the best sex ever, whatever.
Well, yeah, there's that as well. People do have that idea.
Okay. She wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
But what I understand about threesomes, they said some people can take it because, and some people can't because it's, you know, it's very sensitive. You know, when a man is with two women, it's sensitive when you're dealing with one woman. So imagine if you're dealing with two women. And a friend of mine's basically was like, you know, he liked it, but it was too much going on that he couldn't focus.
Yeah. Wow.
I can't imagine how you – I can't imagine – I wouldn't know what to do. That's, you know, give me a guitar. Goodbye. No.
I wouldn't know
what to do. I seriously wouldn't. I seriously would not know what to do.
Definitely.
I would be like
it's kind of crazy, guys, because – okay, is you got to satisfy two women. Is it hard enough to satisfy one? But imagine you have to satisfy two.
We were talking about that
two
earlier.
Women or two and, men or whatever.
But see, we were talking about that earlier. And here's what we concluded for us. Amanda and I are, you know, being the internet husband and wife that we are, we think like-minded about a lot of things, including sex. And this is one that we talked about earlier. Is that when you say try to satisfy, we concluded, at least in our lives, and everybody's life is different and everybody's expectations and things are different, but that the goal is really not to satisfy in terms of orgasm. It's the goal is to share and enjoy and to be. And you know, satisfying should be something that comes naturally. It's nothing you do. It should be, or am I living in some kind of dream world?
You're in a dream world. I think the orgasm is like the big bang, you know, that leads up to the sex. You know, that's what you really be to me.
The orgasm leads to sex, or does sex lead to orgasm?
I mean, sex, vice versa. I'm sorry.
Wait, here, wait, maybe, oh, wait. Okay, you need to hear this again. Maybe we should play this one again here. Wait a minute.
Start alone first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the orgasm. That's how it sounds when you're having it.
Yes.
But my perspective is like, you know, I think that's, you know, psychologically, I think that's what you be, when you be having sex, that's what you be, you know, be leading up to, the orgasm. I mean, who don't want to have an orgasm?
It's true. It's just that. Yeah, sorry, Andy. We were both expressing how it's not, it shouldn't be the ultimate reason for you both to get into it in the first place. That, you know, the connection and the sharing part of it is way more important than the orgasm. And of course, if you've got that there, then no doubt that orgasm is gonna happen anyway, because you're both on that level with each other. That is just like, wow, this is amazing, and boom, it happens naturally. You know,
that's very true. That's very true. Because actually, you got to be, maybe I'm wrong, you got to be very attracted to a person to have get there.
Yeah.
Have any of you ever had any? You got me on the show now.
You know, we were also talking about, you missed, let's just get your opinion on this. And I'll play this question again. Here it is.
Is it okay to fake an orgasm?
What do you think?
I think it's great.
Well,
whatever whatever the person said, but.
Oh, she said, if it's okay to fake. She said, if it's okay to fake an orgasm, is that okay?
Faking an orgasm, I think that's, to me, I think that's wrong. I mean, to me, I mean, if you fake an orgasm, that means that you're making the other person that you are making love to or having sex or banging out, whatever terminology that you want to have, feel kind of bad as you faking an orgasm. I don't think men can fake orgasm. Can we, Andy?
Yes.
We can?
Mm-hmm.
How?
You just, like, pretend like you just, whatever.
He's like, but it's then she'll be like, okay, where's the liquids? Oh, excuse me.
I was going to say, guys, without getting too graphic, okay, for a man, surely, like, faking an orgasm, I'm curious now, because if a man and a woman are having sex, okay, surely she's going to feel if that man has, you know, done his job. And if he's using something, then surely there's going to be evidence within that that it suggests that it happened or not, right?
But let me ask you a question. If it's, well, here's what I'm thinking. If a woman is really lubricated, like really, really wet, and the more sex you have as a guy, the more often you have sex, the less there is, right? So if you have sex in the morning, there's right? So you can get into it. It doesn't, you're not capable of getting into it and having sex, but you can. And then let's say you really did have an orgasm and there just isn't a whole lot there because, shit, I've had four times today. You know what I mean? Whoa-wee.
Yeah.
And that's what happens, you know, versus if you spend like a week or two, you're like, whoa, you know. But
if you have sex,
the more so there is that variable. And if a woman is really, you know, wet, you know, really lubricated, then sometimes it would be hard to tell anyway. It would be hard to say, you know.
Right, okay.
How do you know? I mean, I don't know. This, I don't know. What am I? Who am I?
Well,
but anyway.
I yeah, right. My phone is like steaming. But the thing about it is not only sometimes with individuals, the person that's having sex, sometimes they want to get penetrated from the anal.
I've never done that. I'll admit it here on the show. I've yet to do that. I've never done it.
Yeah,
some women,
I know a few women out there that I read up on books.
they feel
more satisfaction getting penetrated in the anal than the vagina.
Yeah, I've met girls and we start talking about sex. Sometimes when I get together with girls, we start talking about sex. Believe me, it ain't me. I don't know how this happens. How come I always end up talking about sex? No, but this girl who's, you know, a friend was telling me, I don't even know how we got on the subject of how much she loves anal, you know, and I, this is, you know, going back in my life a ways, but she told me that she, you know, really liked anal and we messed around a little bit, you know, a little, not a lot. We never had sex, never. Where's Bill Clinton? I never had sex with that woman. And it depends on what is means. Anyway, moving right along. We didn't have sex, but we messed around a little bit. And she wanted to be, and she knew I never had anal, and she wanted to show me what that was like to do that. And I, you know, I couldn't even fathom the idea, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
When you said it, I don't know what jumped in me. It was like that little noise that comes up on the show. It jumped in me, so I was like, "Oh my gosh!" But women, like I said, to each his own. I mean, people, women, guys. Yeah, that little guy. He jumped on me. I mean, she jumped on me.
Yeah. Oh man.
But
yeah,
what do you think about it, Amanda?
I can only go from my own personal feelings about it, right? I appreciate that people want to do that and try that, and it may feel absolutely amazing for them. So fair play to them, they enjoy that. Sure. For me, it's never really appealed to me. It's like that part of me is meant for, it has one purpose, and I do that you know, as much as I can daily, right?
Yep.
The other part
yep.
for me has that purpose too. So, you know, that's the way I see it, and I've always felt about it. Yeah, so if anybody, you know, wants to get adventurous and try that kind of thing, sure, you know.
And we want to hear about it on the show. We want to hear about your anal love experiences. 515-605-9888, only on the Andy and Amanda Show, right after this message. No, but, you know, then there's also, you know.
He was a human vacuum cleaner.
You know, there's also that.
That guy's still here.
Oh, he likes to make an appearance. Yeah,
he does. He does. Yeah. So interesting. God, you know, what else are we going to talk about here? If okay, how about we talked about hormones? Okay, is it okay to fake an orgasm? We talked about that. Oh, I've got something we should talk about. What if you're in a relationship?
Yeah.
You're in a relationship.
Who,
and a significant anybody, and your significant and your significant other is having an affair. What are some telltale signs of that? And here are a few. Here's a couple of you know, how I might realize that my other, you know, if a girl is with a guy or a husband and he's having an affair, how might that woman know?
Any sort of complete anxiety or ownership over their phone is nearly always a giveaway. You know, if they were fine before and suddenly they've got a passcode on their phone, or wherever they go, they're suddenly keeping the phone close, picking it up, texting more often, taking it places secretly. That's, you know, technology's made it far easier to cheat, but also far easier to get caught.
That's interesting. I do take my phone everywhere.
There's a lot of people who take their phones everywhere. That's very true.
I had that happen to me. I had that happen to me. You know, I mean, quite a while ago, and most of my friends in my life are women. That's been that way my whole life.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of girlfriends and some relationships and some not, but a lot predominantly, big time. You know, I've had a lot of girlfriends. And literally, you know, no sex, just, you know, girls who are close friends. And woman who I met, we're texting back and forth and we're talking. And I was sitting in my front porch having a glass of wine. And I texted her and I said, what are you doing? I said, I'm having a glass of wine. I wish you were here to enjoy it. You know, you should come over, you know, come on over, whatever, you know. And I left my phone there because there's nothing to be ashamed for. Or hide, and there was nothing going on either, you know, just a friend. So of course my daughter, because I went inside to get a drink or whatever, I left my phone there with a text message showing, you know, nothing to hide, and my wife and daughter see the message. It was like, are you having, you know, what the hell, you know what? I'm like, yeah, oh, that, oh man, what, you know, I'm like, get, you know, really? And it raised a concern. It raised a concern. But I must say that this particular woman, we had this little flirtatious relationship, but innocent, if you know what I mean. Totally innocent. Like, no harm done, flirtatious. I'm, you know, hey, you know what? I'm a guy. And I think we were talking about, you know, maybe we'll touch this a little later on or whatever. But to me, what makes an ideal relationship is if both people involved in the relationship can be truthful and honest and be themselves, not have to hide anything or change who they are, right?
Yes.
And I really like women and girls. I just really do. And I'm very comfortable with girls. I love girls. What can I tell you? And when I say that, I don't mean that into the extent that I'm after girls sexually, because I wish that could have been true, but it's not. And what has made my relationships work, or what actually, more importantly, what has made the relationships not work that I was in, lengthy ones, was that I started getting choked, that I couldn't you know, okay already. My God, you know, you know, like the chokehold. Remember the chokehold, Cornell? The chokehold. And that after a while you get confined into space and like, oh my God, you know, and you know, the ideal relationship and what the relationship I ended up being was when I started asking about the girl with the guy that we both knew, I was told she really likes guys. And I'm like, well, I really like girls. This could really work.
Yeah.
and I don't mean that in a sexual sense. I'm like, oh, she really likes to go sleep around. Well, I don't sleep around. I never did. Yeah, yeah. Never slept around. Either did she.
Yeah.
But the attraction and to be able to look at a girl and comment about her and not raise a jealous eyebrow, I'm just because I can be me. I can say, you know, whoa, you know, whoa. And be honest. And, you know, God, I'd hate to be in a relationship where I couldn't be me. I couldn't exist. Obviously, I've been in long-term relationships and I didn't work. Obviously, if you can't be you, the relationship's not going to work. You know what I mean?
That's
very much
true.
So. Yeah.
That's very true.
Yeah. And I think you know, it all comes down to communication, doesn't it? And I think there's a lot of things that can break down in a relationship that, you know, you feel like you have to stop being yourself. And, you know, insecurities can play a huge part in a relationship. And unless you're expressing those insecurities, I think that's when things start to struggle, especially with people wanting to go off and have something with somebody else. Because, you know, if that lack is there in any way and it's not being communicated about, and if it is being communicated and that other person, your partner, isn't understanding or is taking it the wrong way, then that's what's obviously a serious problem in the relationship, because then it's like, well, what are you going to do? How are you going to move forward with this? Doesn't leave you a huge amount of options. But I think, you know, having that communication is the greatest way to stop the other person from wandering. You're going to go looking for something that you're not getting always. If you're craving it so much, you will. Yeah.
It's very easy. Now you got social media.
Yes.
Excuse me, Amanda. Yeah. You got social media. People hit you up in a DM and you already know how they look. You'd be like, oh my gosh, she's beautiful. Let me hit her up on the DM. And sometimes people respond or not. Not saying I do that because to let everybody know I am a married man and I love my wife. Okay.
Oh yeah, you're a good man, darling.
You know, and it's very easy.
It is because you get people who willing to pay you so much attention as well. Like, I've had a lot of people approach me who don't know me and, you know, find me on Facebook or whatever, and they try to start something with you and you say, oh no, I'm in a relationship, but it doesn't stop them because they're just like, well, at the end of the day, I've got a goal here. My goal is to try and get you to do something with me or be with me in some way. And they keep persisting with that. And I've had to block so many people because they badgered me on social media to try and have something with them. And then, of course, if you're frightened to share that with your partner as well, hey, this person's been hitting me up, and your partner finds out, okay, these people have been trying to come on to you, they're going to get insecure, start reading into it that you're having some sort of
issue.
You know,
especially on a platform that we are at, you know, being on, you know, sometimes when you marry or have a partner, excuse me, Amanda.
No, carry on.
They take that as like, wow, you mean to tell me he's married, so I want to try to ruin their relationship because my relationship is messed up, but I want to be with that person. Sometimes people just fantasize of being with you. You might be their soulmate or something like that, and they know that you're married. And then when you're married or have somebody, that's even a better challenge for that person to try to get you.
Yes. It's almost like the thrill of the chase, right, to try and get you. And, of course, as you both know, with myself being same-sex orientated, I've had people try, like men especially, who approach me and try to, you know, convert me. In their eyes, they believe they can convert me by saying all these things. And they've sent me some graphic images on, like, Messenger and stuff as well. I'm like,
really?
Hello? Yes. Yeah. You know, like the classic, they call them dick pics, don't they, right? You know, these guys will take photographs.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they will send them and say, oh, yeah, let's check me out. And I'm like, really? I'm sorry. No.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Let me get targeted a lot for that. No. Yeah, it's true.
Girls have never sent me pictures. I never get any pictures. Anyway.
Only pictures I see is the pictures that I take.
Yeah. Man, no, that's something else. That's and I wanted to just touch, before we move on to another subject, I wanted to just play another clip regarding another sign of your significant other, perhaps, you know, having an affair, maybe. Like, what else, you know, in addition to, we talked about the phone and secretive messages and suddenly texting to somebody all the time and so forth. What could be another sign? This is kind of interesting. Listen to this.
You know, people have got this theory that they'll want less sex at home if they're having it elsewhere. But in fact, there's a thing called the hydraulic pump theory that says that if you are having lots of sex elsewhere, you want more because your sex drive is increased by the sort of, you know, illicitness of the affair, and you're sort of hornier than what you were before, basically. So often that's not a sign.
Interesting, isn't it? That's opposite to what I thought. That is opposite to what I thought. I'll tell you. Okay. I want to tell you about. I'm very happy in my life now. But you know, I did have a. I got married very, very late in life, and therefore I had quite a long time to be in long term relationships, and not so long. You know, but most of I'm one that hasn't. You know, had more long term relationships as opposed to volume of sex relationships. I've had not as much volume, but lengthy, meaningful relationships instead. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But during the in between times, you know, the in between when I'm dating this one or that one, I remember being with, and I wasn't committed to anybody particularly, but just in a few different relationships, and I bouncing from house to house, bouncing from house to house. No. But I remember, like having sex with this one girl and having great, who was like a friend, and we had a physical relationship, and then going, and she'd leave, and then I went over to this other girl's house, and who liked me a lot, and I was a kind of relationship with her, and ended up having sex with her too, and I figured, okay, that was weird, you know?
Oh wow, yeah.
Yeah, because I didn't want to. I'm thinking. You know, I can't, how do you say, let me see, hey, isn't there a baseball game on? Isn't there? but that was a weird thing that happened. And because you were just talking about, you know, in having an affair, if somebody has an affair, is this, if you have an X amount of level of sex life, whatever that is, however often you have sex, however often it is, and suddenly that dissipates. Use one partner suddenly say, what's wrong? Are you having sex somewhere else? How come you're not interested in me anymore? I could see somebody saying that. How come you're not interested in me anymore? You must be seeing somebody else.
Yeah.
When actually,
yeah, that's very true.
You know what I mean? To the contrary, from what we just heard from our expert panel here, Lori Cox.
Well, you don't pay any attention anymore, Andy. You don't really bother them or pay them any attention when they go out, don't do the same things when you first met and all that, then they think, okay, something's wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. But from what we just heard, so the exploitations, the that extra affair, that extra gentle, that wow, you've got this incredible thing happening. And I understand that. I'm thinking back in my own life. I've got to go back years. I'm like rolling the file cabinet back in my head here. I'll talk about that in a second. But what we just heard was that a sign of somebody having an affair is not suddenly the absence of sex, but the increase in the amount of sex because of that external factor of what's affecting that person in the relationship now makes somebody hornier.
Right, yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, there is that science side of it as well. But I think also insecurity can play a huge part because, you know, if that's an important aspect of a relationship for somebody and they're craving that from their partner and they're just not getting it, then, you know, without that communication, say, hey, baby, darling, whatever you want to call your other one, and say, look, I need to come to you with this. I really feel like I need that connection with you. And I feel a little dang that we haven't got that anymore, or, you know, it's just we're not having as much of it. Would you consider us, you know, revisiting that and maybe trying it more? And I think that's a great way to approach it. And if not, then, you know, if you're extremely insecure, it can make you feel like you're not worthy enough, that you're not loved enough, that you're not needed or mm-hmm. wanted. And those are big driving forces for you to find it elsewhere. They make you go in search for that, and you draw it to you. You really do. You find somebody, you speak to somebody, and all of a sudden, hey, that person's paying you more attention than your partner was, mm-hmm. is. And you think, oh, this is great. This feels great. And before you know it, you're caught up in this experience with them, and then it goes further, and then you think, oh, this is amazing, I'm getting everything I need from this person. And all the while, you still have that love and connection with that other person. It's just mm-hmm. all that insecurity and that feeling of I finally feel wanted and needed is overriding everything else and saying this needs to be fulfilled. Mm. But you still love that other person, that you just don't want to leave them, or, you know, pull away from what you've got with them because it is special. And then you've got people arguing, well, how can you do that to that person if you love them? But yet, you know, you've got all these overpowering strong insecurities. They can drive people to do crazy things. They really can. And I think if anybody's ever felt insecure and you've done something in your life that's made you say, oh, I've done this because I felt insecure in that moment, then you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But after you do all that, what's next? After that, after you know how to affair, what's next?
Yeah. And it's
what's the
consequences of that?
Yeah, and quite often or not, that person that you've had the affair with doesn't end up usually being the one, but can be, because that's been known to be a thing, mm-hmm. that you can end mm-hmm. up with that person for a lifetime, depending mm-hmm. on how it's manifested, you know? But if you've gone looking for it for the reasons that you're just not getting something, then quite ultimately you may end up leaving that relationship that you've had the affair with and
fatal attraction.
In the same cycle again. Yeah. Yes, fatal attraction. Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. Some people have this affair with this incredibly steamy, you know, romance that lasts a few weeks and it's dead, and they've ruined their life and their kids and their wife, everything, and it never happened. You know, that's happened. That's happened. And at the same time, like you were saying, it's worked the other way too. Where this is Mr. or Miss Right finally arrived in my life. You know.
Yeah.
Like your soulmate. Sometimes you might have might be in a relationship with a person right now, and thinking like, oh, that, until you meet your soulmate. And when you meet your soulmate, they make you feel like, oh my gosh, this is my soulmate. That person knows everything. That's the person I've been looking for. But basically, you're a married man, or, you know, a person that's with somebody, you can't really do anything but just stay where you at. Do you stay where you at, or do you go and run for your soulmate?
Yeah, I think that's a big thing as well, isn't it? It's trying to find that the answer within them. And I think at that point you've got to be realistic and say, okay, so the relationship I'm in, am I truly happy in this relationship? Is it everything that I really want? And if the answer is, if you've met somebody else who makes you feel all these things, then surely that's a clear sign that the relationship you're already in is just not right for you anymore, because this other person is making you feel all these things. That mm-hmm. should be a clear indication that relationship you're already in is just, it's not enough anymore. And that can be a really horrifying and sad fact for a lot of people, I think, a very painful one, because they ultimately don't want to leave that other person, you don't want to hurt them or make them feel bad, but ultimately you've got to be true to yourself and, you know, say, okay, well, this other person is like you said, Cornell, if you feel it's your soulmate, if they are delivering something to you that feels on every level that it's right, I think you need to follow that and go with that. But first question, how does this happen? Why
love.
It's happened? Yeah. Is it just lust? Is that what it is, you know? Is it more than that? Is it deeper than that?
And there's always...
Would you rather have a man?
Yeah.
Nothing against that, but I'll stick to the lady.
Yeah.
Take it on.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
But my thing is this, guys. It's like, okay, you done met your soulmate, right? And then you marry or you with somebody. That person has everything. Your soulmate don't have nothing. What do you do?
Well, you can go.
Are you saying that the soulmate doesn't have anyone, but you do? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, basically. Okay. Just say if you with somebody, right? They have a great career, they have and everything. You leave your person that you're married to or been years for your soulmate, but then your soulmate is just a person that's nothing. Not saying nobody's nothing, but just a person that don't have no career, no nothing, but your soulmate is just your soulmate. She don't have no background, he don't have no background, and what do you do?
Oh, I see. So, yeah, I guess that's important to a lot of people, right, having all those things. But I guess at the end of the day, when that person, it speaks everything to you, that you see past all of that. You don't see, oh, this person hasn't got a career or a lot of money or all those, you know, outside worldly material things. And you feel in that moment what is worth it in that moment is everything you feel, that connection with that person, which overrides it all. It really does. But there's a lot of people that just are brought up with conditioning and in society that believe this person must have a car, a house, a job, all this money to feel happy and secure, and that will be the perfect partner for them. And unfortunately, that's not going to work. No, it's not going to work that
way. Materialism brings on love. Mm-hmm. Being materialistic, anything to do with.
Yeah, I mean, it brings great comforts in life, sure, but what's the ultimate comfort at the end of the day? Someone who understands you, loves you, respects you, looks after you, wants to be there for you through every single storm. That is incredibly amazing, and that should be the very thing that you go not chasing after or seeking, because I'm not saying people should run out and find it, but when it comes to you, that should be the most important thing, not all this material bullshit that says... You know, because that's where the true happiness is.
It is. Well, you just tell your partner.
You're a contemptible lowlife for talking this way about.
Yeah, I'll tell you. You know.
Yeah.
You want to know what I think? Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. I have a question for you. Let's put this out there. And again, our number here is 515-605-9888 if you want to get in on this fascinating conversation we're having and discussion about relationships and love and intimacy and sex.
Toys.
I wonder how much does good sex play upon the being able to maintain an effective relationship? You know,
they're hugging and kissing.
Say that again, Andy. You zoned out
if
for a moment.
Kissing and hugging.
Oh,
you people are sick.
Because I like cucumbers. I'm the only one. I like cucumbers.
I wonder why.
I was wondering, how much does a healthy, good, effective, vigorous, exciting sex life have to do with the maintenance of an effective long-term relationship?
Huh.
Wow. Way up, then it went down.
Wow.
I don't know. I'm sure there's plenty of people out there who enjoy their relationship who don't really have that physical intimacy, and it's everything for them. You know, it's enough for them. And there's people who really do enjoy having that connection, and that's great for them too. And, you know, mm-hmm. I could bring up some things that go back to like a deep kind of spiritual religion thing, where religion, that's a whole other minefield, as we know, and there's aspects of that where people believe that religion says that, you know, sex is a bad thing, and yet there's other parts of it, and it's seen and viewed differently, that actually says that a connection between your partner, your husband or wife, whatever it is, you know, that it's important to have that connection because of how you connect with that other person on an energy level, on a spiritual level without you even being aware of it sometimes. And when you're both conscious of that, my goodness, apparently it's an incredible experience. So it kind of supposedly takes the relationship to, the sexual relationship to a whole nother level when you're both on that level, experiencing mm-hmm. it from that. So, you know, you got that argument as well that, you know, it's important to maintain that and have that connection with your partner. But there are plenty of people happy enough not having that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's interesting, no?
it truly is. It truly is. Here's a question from a caller here.
I have a boyfriend. He goes on forever. I'm looking at the clock. I'm like, come on, when is this going to be over?
That's a deep question.
It is. Yeah.
Well, thank you, caller.
Yes.
So a boyfriend that goes on forever, looking at the clock, thinking, when is this going to be over?
Never.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know.
I have a question.
Go for it.
Can people that work together fall in love with each other when they have another person in their life?
Yes.
I don't know. I should
yes,
imagine
so.
Like somebody that work on your job or something like that?
Yeah.
Yes,
I don't know.
They
I
can.
Mean, yeah, I should. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, next.
this show is like, yo, dude, I have so many questions. It's like, I really don't want to go there.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, come on. Spill the beans.
You
want to
go?
Come
okay.
on, man.
Okay, cool.
Ask some more.
Yes. Yeah,
now, what do you think about different nationalities, relationships?
Ooh. I think it's an awesome thing. For one, it can be exciting, right, because you're both learning about each other's culture, and I think the differences between you physically as well as with your lifestyle and all those things, I think can be a really interesting connection. And, yeah, I'm all for it.
You know what's so crazy? I don't understand. That's right. I really don't understand when you see a different nationality or different color person or something with somebody in the other nationality basically don't like that. Mm. I don't get that. I mean, yeah, like if you see a black guy with a white girl or a white girl with a black guy and the
yeah.
other, they don't like that. They'd be like, oh my gosh, what is he doing with her? And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, again, doesn't that come down to things like family conditioning and like, I guess parts of society as well. And you got all sorts of things with racism as well that comes into it, that, you know, it's not a good idea for two races to mix, and kind of keeping it pure. And I've never agreed with that. I've never understood. I've never seen a reason or a problem with two races mixing ever, because I was never raised that way to see people that way, thankfully. I'm very grateful mm-hmm. to my parents mm-hmm. for that, you know? So I think it all comes down to families and what you're educated as a very young child, what is instilled into you is the way that you view life and others. And then that, you know, that carries on and you end up building that such a
yeah.
strong belief that you passed it.
I think there is a perception in, you know, coming from the Archie Bunker era, a Christian should marry a Christian, a white person should marry a white person, a black person should marry a black person, whatever it might be. And, and of course now in the world there's, you know, it's very common to see a couple of you know, an Asian and a black person, a white person, a black person, a black person, Asian, Indian, and a whatever. I mean, it's not, you know, it's out there. And
yeah.
the only thing I would ever think about, is two. Here's what I'm just thinking. You know, you can only really think of what relates to you and what your life is and what your experiences have been and what your, you know, perceptions of the world
yeah.
are. Is
yeah.
that I'm an atheist, and I've always been an atheist my entire life. and somewhat of a proactive atheist. I don't just sit there back quietly. You know, I've taken people on and had really great, healthy discussions about the non-existence of a superpower, and I'm convinced there is none. And I've had relationships where, you know, taking a beautiful walk with this great girl, and you get along great, and there's this romance and the sexual attraction and everything. And the girl says, how can you exist every day and look around you and not see that there's a bigger power? I'm like, how can you say that there is a bigger power and look around you and look at the rest of the universe and the world and how we got here? And have this discussion, not that it ends. And I've had, I don't know if you're going to call them arguments, but I've had, you know, discussions that were more than just a discussion with women that didn't seem to matter at the time. Long term, like, you know, I never married any of those girls, you know, all 75 of them. Anyway, no.
Wow, that's impressive, Andy.
Hey, you know what I mean? You know? Do I get a ding at the 100? Anyway, but here's what's kind of interesting. Like, I was in a great relationship with a girl who, you know, who was a Christian, you know, Orthodox Christian, whatever. And we were very much in love, and we were together for quite some time. And, you know, come Easter celebration, she was with her friends, and she'd come over and they cook, and we had a fun time. And there's, you know, I'm Andy, the boyfriend, and, you know, we're semi living together, and they come, you know, everybody have a great time. And everybody knew that Andy doesn't believe, you know, he doesn't celebrate this. I believe in Easter Bunny, about Easter, that, you know, chocolate stuff. That's, you know, that I believe in Easter Bunny. But anyway, come to the religiousness of any holiday, I don't celebrate it because I don't believe, when people pray, my opinion is nobody's listening. I mean, I understand why people pray. I understand why. Yeah. I understand the drive. I understand the motivation. And I don't want to separate too far from our conversation. But here's the point, that when you start thinking about, you know, let's say a black person, a white person, an atheist, and a Christian, and on and on. That's my point. That when you start thinking about having kids and bringing up kids in the world, if you take two parents who have very strong, maybe even opposite philosophical values, it becomes very, very difficult to think about how you're going to raise a kid.
Yeah.
Because that's when your family background and your orientation and what's been drilled into you since you were a kid, you know, when were you first told whatever, you know? And I think I told you the story that when I first realized that there was a difference between a black person and a white person, I think I was either on the show or for now and I were talking, I forget. But I'll tell you the story real quick. When I was a toddler and a baby, my mother was a college student, and my father was a medical intern, and neither one of them had much money to rub between them, but they managed to be able to afford a child, you know, caretaker who took care of the house, took care of the kids, everything. You know, my mom went to school and my dad went to work.
Yeah.
So the lady who took care of me was this heavyset black woman, and her name was Alice. And she taught me how to talk, actually. But anyway, and then I realized more and more that Alice didn't have the same skin color I do. And I sat with that for several years, not asking, not questioning, not going out into the world. But instead, being the typical person, I really haven't changed a whole lot. I kind of figure out on my own. And once I figured out that is the answer, I got it. I know the answer. So one day I'm sitting thinking to myself, I actually remember doing this, that white people are white because they go to work in vanilla pudding factories. And black people are black because they work in chocolate pudding factories. And so you either work, so when you grow up, you either work for vanilla pudding factory or chocolate pudding factory. And that's what you do when you go to work. So there's a woman coming to our front door for an interview. You know, my mom had different people come in, and, you know, this lasts however long. And a black woman was at the front door, and I'd figured out. I'm so proud of myself because I figured it out. And so somebody at the door, and I leaned up and I opened the door, and there's this black woman standing there, and I turned around, I yelled up the stairs, I said, "Mom, the chocolate pudding lady's here." I was what, 4 or 3? You know what I mean? It's just you know, that's just a story. But it came into my life. The question is, because, you know, I married into a very big Catholic family with in-laws that said grace before every meal, and having kids that wondered, we don't say grace in our house. So what do we do when we go see grandma and grandpa? Well, we respect them is what we do.
Yeah,
we respect
of course.
Them.
Yeah.
You know, we can talk about it afterward, but in the interim, we respect them. And then I had the feeling, okay, when I felt like you know, it's funny, All in the Family of Archie Bunker and Meathead and, you know, whatever. And I was thinking, okay, and we go to their house, they say grace. When they come to our house, we don't say grace. So then is it appropriate for them to say grace? Wait, we don't say grace here. You can just start eating in my house.
Yeah.
But no, out of respect for grandma and grandpa, hey, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. You know, let them pray. It doesn't mean we have to pray. We can do whatever. Let them pray before they do this. So,
yeah.
Again, my point is that in terms of having a couple, in terms of being in a relationship, it's all said and good. When you start to think about bringing up children in and the ideologies and the philosophies and your backgrounds and what you're committed to in terms of your beliefs and your philosophies of life and our being and your cultural background, it all comes into play. And where does it get let out? On your kids and how they're brought up. And that's where I see.
Hey, Andy, not to cut you off, we are living proof right here.
Yes, we are.
Andy and Amanda show.
Yeah.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. I didn't think about that. See, it doesn't matter to me. It doesn't occur to me. It doesn't even occur to me.
Yeah.
I would not have thought that, Cornell. You're absolutely right. You're so right.
Yeah.
So I think what we'll do is, because we are running out of time, and I love talking about this and relationships and sex, and there's more things. One more question maybe I wanted to get to here, too, if you don't mind, guys.
Yeah.
Maybe it's this one. Wait a minute.
I have a boyfriend. He goes on for...
No, we did that one already. Wrong one. I'm sorry. How about this one?
I recently had sex with this guy.
Okay, and?
And, yes.
Okay.
Well, good for her.
Okay, caller. Try calling us again next on the Amanda and Andy show. On Amanda Love show. Hey, Cornell, did you hear the beginning of the show?
Love and Andy and Amanda Love show.
So anyway,
I love the way he does that.
I think we'll play the beginning as our exit music again because that was fun. Hey, listen, Cornell, but do you guys know what I'm saying? Because we were talking about – we do have some minutes left in the show. We were talking about, you know, cultural differences and ethnicity differences, nationality differences. And I just said my piece. What do you guys think?
My thing is this. Tune into the Andy and Amanda show. We are living proof.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's all I can say.
I live by example, right? Yeah.
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 I agree.
You know, this is that people are talking about.
Do you know,
Afro-American.
Guys, my wife and Cornell. Oh, by the way, when we get married on the internet, I thought Cornell would be our best man.
Oh, very good. Yeah, that
yeah.
sounds good.
Thank you. Yeah. Good. Yeah, we are living proof, and it's really cool what we have assembled here. And for those of you who are just joining us or have read something about us or tuning in to a podcast perhaps on some – whatever it might be on iHeartRadio or Pandora, the three of us have never, ever met, ever. And we've been on the – doing the show 200-and-some episodes now as a team. And we've never met. And people have said, oh, you guys have chemistry. You and Amanda. I mean, you and that we don't know – Amanda and I have never met. They're like, what? And the show is happening. I mean, as Cornell said, it's like it's happening in some respects, and we all come from different backgrounds and different, you know, cultural backgrounds and nationalities and live life differently in many respects in terms of our relationships. And it's amazing what we have here. And I think you're right, Cornell. We are living proof, and that's why you do need to tune in on the Friday show because we're going to continue this discussion. We're going to have love, sex, intimacy and religion, and how does it all tie together? Wow, that's heavy duty. You got to tune in Friday,
that is
noon Pacific time.
Hey, Andy, don't forget.
Yes.
Hmm? The what?
Don't forget about toys.
Sex toys? you missed that,
yes.
Cornell. We talked about that, but we're going to bring it up again real quick because this will be an entree into our next show. Sex toy market has been booming, and I want to tell you that we are going to have a sex toy store on this show. You'll be able to buy sex toys
yes.
And we'll talk more about that too, but we're going to do it because we need to start figuring out how we're going to make a living by doing this. So we figure let's sell sex toys. So anyway, we're going to talk to her.
Doing, 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 doing. You heard a sex toy in the background. Doing, 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 doing.
Tune in Friday show. So we're at noontime live, Pacific time, 3 p.m. East Coast, 8 p.m. in London. Amanda, why don't you take us home and we'll see everybody Friday.
Okay, so on behalf of Andy Kimball in California, Hollywood, myself, Amanda Love in the UK, and thank you to our wonderful coordinator, Cornell, for calling in. We love you. Just a bit of advice. If you're going to get with somebody, first ask if they're psychic, because quite often in relationships, no one's a mind reader, okay? Just putting that out there. But come back and join us on Friday's show. We're going to have a blast and hope you have fun with us, and we'll catch you there. We love you.
And just remember,
in a relationship, you have to make time for sex.
That's what we're talking about here on the Andy DeMandio Show. We'll see you Friday.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.